Today's scripture reading is taken from Luke 19, verses 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, "He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner." And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Now, blessed morning, my brothers and sisters, who are gathered on site and online. We bring God's blessings to you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For those who are new with us, I see some new faces. We welcome you to PSPC. We are doing a sermon series on evangelism, because this is how we want to fulfill the church theme this year, celebrating God's faithfulness, continuing the mission. And today, we are going to look at Luke chapter 19. Now, let us go to God in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Heavenly Father, we pray that you will speak to us through your word and illumine us through your spirit, so that we will go forth to continue Christ's mission, proclaiming the gospel wherever we are going to the people in our lives. For this, we give thanks and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. A few weeks ago, I read in the Straits Times a very interesting article with this title: "There has never been a better time to be short." Oh, what a wonderful, interesting title, and that caught my attention on the 3rd of January. And apparently, in this article, the female writer, who is about 1.5 meters tall, she claimed that there are intrinsic advantages to being short. For example, shorter people eat less food, and you will help to conserve the world's resources, sustainability. Shorter people have less body cells, and therefore they have a lower risk of cancer. Shorter people allow more people to pack into spaceships. Why? Why need to pack into spaceships? In case the Earth no longer sustainable, we need to evacuate planet Earth to live on the moon. More people can go to the moon. It is good to be short. And so this writer claimed that shorter people live happier lives, live longer lives. For the sake of survivability and sustainability, we should celebrate shortness. And perhaps the only disadvantage that they may have, according to this writer, is that when they go to the supermarket, they cannot reach the top shelf, and they need people to reach out for them. That's perhaps the only disadvantage that, and she believed that she could live with that. It was a hilarious article to read, and you can forward this to the people in your lives, the short people in your lives, at your own risk, but this is actually public, it's on the Straits Times. But I like to say that there is actually another disadvantage of being short. Short people cannot see Jesus in the crowd. Just as Zacchaeus cannot see Jesus. But the point is that whether tall or short, Today's passage instructs us, exhorts us on what it means to continue Christ's mission. The first way to continue Christ's mission is in verses 1 to 4. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through, and behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Wonderful, memorable Sunday school lesson. How should we understand this passage? Many years ago, when my younger daughter Rebecca was about 5 years old, and nowadays I have to ask permission to narrate this. When she was 5 years old, I told this Bible story to her. And after reading this whole story, I asked her, okay, so what did you learn from this Bible story? And she paused and she thought, as hard as a 5-year-old could think. And then she responded, I learned that if you are short, you can ask the taller people to let you stand in front. Meaning that you don't have to go and climb a tree. But think about it this way. Throughout Jesus' public ministry, he was always surrounded by crowd, isn't it so? And in the crowd, it would always be easier for shorter people to ask the taller people to let them stand in front, because there is no way that shorter people can block the taller people. In a crowd, it will always be easier for shorter people to try to squeeze in front. And all these things will be easier to do than for a shorter people to try to climb a tree. That's harder, isn't it? Why did Zacchaeus have to do that? What was the problem that he was facing? The problem was not simply because of his shortness. Got that? The problem was not merely because of his shortness. Read verses 2 to 3 again. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature. When we study the Greek grammar of the phrase on account of the crowd, it suggests a cause and effect. Got that? Cause and effect. That totally overturned what we learned in Sunday school to diagnose the true problem he was facing. The true problem that he was facing was not merely because of his shortness. Then what? It was not because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. The problem was rather that the crowd was denying him the opportunity to see Jesus. It was the crowd that was denying him. Why? Because on account of the crowd, when we look at its cause and effect, and the emphasis is on the crowd that hindered him. Because he was small in stature. Why he was small in stature in community? He was a tax collector. In those days, a tax collector collect taxes from their own people on behalf of the Romans, the masters of the land. And that was why tax collectors had very low social status. They were totally despised. And to add to that, he was chief tax collector at the top of the hierarchy, and he was totally despised by the people. So despised that they denied him the opportunity to see Jesus. And when we realized that the real problem was not merely because Zacchaeus was small in stature, but because he was small in status, how then should we be instructed in a way we continue Christ's mission? We continue Christ's mission by making room for others. How do we make room for others? By reflecting on our bias, by examining our prejudice, by confessing our discrimination against different categories of people, perhaps because of their socioeconomic profile, because of their race or culture, because of the places that they come from, or any other combination of these reasons that lead us to have bias, prejudice, discrimination. Gandhi once wrote in his autobiography that when he was still a student, he studied in England. And when he was there, he read the gospel. He was open to Christianity. Why? Because he found in the teachings of Jesus a solution, a possible solution to the caste system that was separating the people in India into different social categories. So one day he decided to attend a church nearby, the campus. He arrived in the church. The usher did not even usher him or bring him to the seat. The usher told him that he should go and worship with his own people. Gandhi left. He never returned. He wrote in his autobiography that he never expected Christians to have caste differences as well. And so without letting the gospel of Jesus Christ deal decisively with the bias, the prejudice, the discrimination that we may have deep within our own lives, perhaps things that we can't even verbalize, there is no way that we will make room for others and that we will end up blocking their access to Jesus, just like how the crowd blocked Zacchaeus' access to Jesus as well. But when we begin to make room for others, the picture looks very different. It is like the picture of an advertisement by a hotel chain in the US back in the 1980s. The picture was that of a little building surrounded by the darkness of the night. And then in that building, there was only one lamp above the door at the porch of the building, and everything else surrounded by darkness. Despite that being the only lamp and the only light that gave enough light to a weary and tired traveler to reach there and to find rest there. And that advertisement ended with this tagline: "We will leave the light on for you." The crowd actually turned off the lights for Zacchaeus. And if we are to continue Christ's mission, we can leave the light on for others. We can make room for others. So, if the first part is to continue Christ's mission to make room for others, the second part is to reach out to others. And in the rest of the passage, there are two expressions of what it means to reach out. And the first expression is in verses 5 to 7. "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay in your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, 'He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner.'" Now, there is a tension here. We must recognize this tension. The tension between the rejoicing of Zacchaeus and, in the previous slide, the rejoicing of Zacchaeus and the grumbling of the crowd. We must recognize the tension there. And it shows that the crowd had missed the heart of Jesus' mission to seek to save the lost, to seek and save even a chief tax collector who was despised by everybody in the community. Therefore, the first expression of reaching out is the reshaping of the heart. The reshaping of the heart. And this means drawing near to Christ In the next slide, when we draw near to Christ, we will have our hearts reshaped. When we draw near to Christ, we attune to his heartbeat for the lost. And we realize and recall that the pioneer missionary, David Livingstone, he once said that God had only one son, and he made him a missionary. When we draw near to Christ and attune to his heartbeat for the lost, we hear the missional heart of God. Conversely, if we find ourselves grumbling like the crowd, obstructing people's access to Jesus, perhaps is it because our bias, our prejudice, our discrimination have led us far away from the heartbeat of Christ and the missional heart of God. The second expression of what it means to reach out can be seen from a comparison of two verses. At the beginning of verse 3, it says that Zacchaeus was seeking to see who Jesus was. And in verses 9 to 10, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." And try to recall, at the beginning of the chapter, chapter 19, it was recorded that Jesus was only passing through Jericho. He was only passing through Jericho to Jerusalem, on the way to Jerusalem. But even in the midst of passing through Jericho, Jesus was seeking to save Zacchaeus, even as Zacchaeus was seeking to see Jesus. While Jesus was on his way, he was on mission. And that leads us to the point that when our hearts are reshaped, our posture will be ready anytime, all the time. And we will reach out to others, whatever we are doing, wherever we are going. So how does it look like for us to have our hearts reshaped in this manner for outreach? The grumbling of the people reveals a heart far away from the heartbeat of Christ. And so likewise, our own bias, our own prejudice, our own discrimination can also lead us to grumble at other people as well. And especially grumbling at people coming to faith in Christ as well. Recently, I've been reading the news, and this German word keeps appearing. This word in German, it says Schadenfreude. It is a word that cannot be translated directly into English, but it literally means you experience joy and pleasure when people fail, when people have misfortune. For example, a classmate that you don't like, did badly for O level. What, you happy? What, you don't tell. You put on masks and hide your joy. The colleague that you totally don't like got scolded by the boss, and you put on a mask and you hide your joy. Schadenfreude. It touched deeply at our human emotions because it is at the heart of human sinfulness. And we need to ask ourselves whether there is Schadenfreude in our lives. And when people whom we don't really like, they come to faith in Christ, do we grumble or are we overjoyed? And that perhaps could be a litmus test as well. And if that is so, perhaps it's time for us to reflect upon our bias, to examine our prejudice, to confess our discrimination about the people in our lives, so that our hearts can be reshaped and our posture can be ready. And some of the ways in which our hearts can be reshaped, perhaps, is to join in the Kairos course that we announced in the bulletin. Because in the Kairos course, we get to know more about the missional heart of God who sent His Son, who sent the Holy Spirit for the fulfillment of His work of redemption. And perhaps, as announced in the bulletin, this year we are resuming a Northern Thailand mission trip. And going on a mission trip could be opportunities for our hearts to be reshaped and to have that view and seen that perspective of God's work outside the walls of PSBC, out in the mission field. And if our heart is reshaped for outreach in this way, how does it look like for our posture to be readied, that we will be able to reach out whatever we are doing, wherever we are going? We started this year doing this study series on natural evangelism, because evangelism might not be natural for many of us. That's why perhaps through this series, we want to grow in our instinct, grow in our skills, so that we can renew our evangelistic instinct, we can recover our skills, evangelism become more natural for us. Have you talked to people in your lives who talk very naturally about the uncertainties of life and the certainties of death? Have you talked to people in your lives who talk very naturally about the uncertainties of life and the certainties of death? We are not talking about pastors and missionaries. We are talking about financial planners, insurance agents. You know, whatever topic, what they can link it to, for you to think about, I'm not prepared. It will link you to reflect deeply. Do you have resources and the reserves to deal with the uncertainties of life and the certainties of death? And the very good ones, they do it so naturally, and you arrive at the conclusion, I'm not ready. What about us? We are God's people. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ that addresses the fundamental questions of eternal death and eternal life. Eternal death in sin, eternal life in Christ. And then we realize that all the problems that we face in this life because of a fallen world due to sin, and that the gospel is the only solution. Christ is the only solution. What does it mean for us, and how does it look like for us to share Christ and the gospel naturally? September last year, my wife and I went on a trip to Siem Reap in Cambodia. That was the first post-COVID trip last September. And during the city tour of Siem Reap City, the tour guide shared with us the historic significance and the cultural and religious practices of the people as we went to various religious sites. And then I recognized an evangelistic opening. I responded and engaged him in his explanation of religious practices and led that dialogue to the sharing of the gospel. You may ask, can man? Because you pastor, you can, I cannot. But you can do it. At that point in time, my wife started to lag behind me. I thought she was looking at some other things, but what she didn't tell me was that she was taking photo of us. And this is his photo right outside the royal residence. The tour guide on the left, I was on the right. And that was just a few minutes of sharing, engaging, testifying. Everyone can do this. Whoever you are, wherever you are, in the school, in the office, in the community, even on a holiday, your posture can be ready because our hearts have been reshaped. There was another trip that we went to, was Bintan, my wife and I, to Bintan. And we were on a we had to take a bum boat or speedboat out offshore to another boat where we had outdoor dining on this boat. And so it was just two of us with another Caucasian couple. We were just seated separately because we arrived at different times. And they were cooked the food in the kitchen inside the boat, and then they bring up the food. When it was time to go off, we went back by the same speedboat. And that was when we get to talk to the couple. And then when we reached the shore, it was just a short distance. That whole exchange led to asking where you come from, where are you visiting, and then ask what do you do. Oh, I have to tell, I'm pastor. And then the lady asked, hey, pastor, you pastor, I got question to ask you. Oh, then I know it. Wow. Question for pastor. Then, okay, so we sat down. And then I realized that this male and female, the guy has a family, married, not divorced yet. And this lady was with this man. And she asked me, is it okay for me to be with this man? Yeah. I cannot say, sorry, I'm on holiday. I'm not pastor today. This is my name card. Come and visit me. And my wife was with me. And for, if you want to know details, talk to my wife after the service. But the surface issue must be led to the spiritual issue. And the spiritual need addressed by the gospel. So there will be situations in your life, in the workplace, in the office, whereby people present to you surface issues. It's just symptomatic issues. But beyond that surface issue is a spiritual need. And that spiritual need cannot be fulfilled just by hanging out with another man or whatever. It can only be addressed by Jesus Christ. So whenever you encounter situations in the workplace, in the office, community, when people come to you with surface issues, situations that they may be facing, sit down and listen. And tune in to the deeper spiritual needs, what exactly it is. And then respond with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there could be future dialogues to deal with the issues that they may be facing. So this woman was hanging out with this man, but the greatest need that she was looking for is love and acceptance from somebody, just anyone. That was the spiritual need. No one can love this woman more than Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for her sins. You see the link there? And from there, with the sharing of gospel, leading to a greater understanding from the surface needs to the spiritual needs to Jesus Christ. And along the way, we learn the skill through this series to learn how to listen to people, respond to people, and share Christ with people in a way that is natural, in a way that reflects a heart that is reshaped, in a way that reflects a posture that is ready. Whatever you are doing, wherever you are going. And furthermore, as Chinese New Year visitation resume, there will be opportunities to re-engage with relatives and friends whom you might not have met for almost 2 years. And perhaps that reconnection can lead to a further spiritual breakthrough down the road. So let us go forth to reach out to others with a heart that is reshaped, with a posture that is ready, and we will be able to share Christ whatever we are doing, wherever we are going. So God had only son, and he made him a missionary. What David Livingstone had said in his quote, he fulfilled in his life and ministry. And then as an explorer, as a missionary. In 1865, Livingstone embarked on a trip. He left England to East Africa. In those days, it was just wilderness, uncharted land, to chart a way into the interior of Africa. He encountered tremendous hardship, sickness, dangers, and he, in fact, went missing for a few years, uncontactable. No one knew whether he was still alive or dead. In 1871, a few years after Livingstone left England, a news company wanted to feature a sensational news. And so they sent another explorer who was also a journalist by the name of Henry Stanley. Go and search for Livingstone. Give us a good report. After a long, difficult, dangerous search, on November 10, 1871, he found Livingstone. And the two men spent some months together as he observed Livingstone's ministry. And after that, he returned to England and he made international headlines with the news of finding Livingstone. In his testimony, he recalled Livingstone in these ways. I went to Africa as prejudiced as the biggest atheist in London. But that came for me a long time for reflection. I saw this solitary old man there and asked myself, how on earth does he stop here? Is he cracked or what? What is it that inspires him? For months after we met, I found myself wondering at the old man carrying out all that was said in the Bible. Leave all things and follow me. But little by little, his sympathy for others became contagious. My sympathy was aroused. Seeing his piety, his gentleness, his zeal, his earnestness, and how he went about his business, I was converted by him, although he had not tried to do it. Through his speech, through his conduct, through his life, through his ministry, David Livingstone drew Henry Stanley nearer to Christ. And that's how it looks like for us, to make room for others and to reach out to others. Amen. Let us all stand, my brothers and sisters, as we respond to the Lord. My brothers and sisters, the people in our lives need the Lord. In our workplaces, in our community, in our schools, among our relatives and friends. And perhaps God has placed you right where you are to share the gospel, to meet the spiritual needs with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That whatever situation that they may face, ultimately, only Christ and Christ alone is a true fulfillment. Only Christ and Christ alone can save. Let this closing song, People Need the Lord, lead us to that response. And as we sing this song, lift up in our prayers the people in our lives.